budgeteers. Welcome back to Everybody's Bad with Money. I'm your host, AJ Schneider, and while I love you like the financial mother you never had, I'm ready for you to fly. Leave the nest. But seriously, in this week's episode, we're diving into how much money do you actually need to move out of your parents' place, and or what to do when you're considering moving to a new city or town that is slightly different expenses than what you currently are spending. So this is the first of two episodes where we'll be talking about moving, because guess what? It's really stressful. In this episode, Rachel Lee and I talk about common issues people run into when they're moving out of their parents' place. And next week, Rachel and I dive into general moving expenses. If you don't remember, Rachel and Leah are the phenomenal financial freedom coaches alongside me. And we can't start this episode without giving a big warm shout out to the man behind the scenes, our mixologist, biologist, co-producerologist, Eric Weisberg. And if you have a quick second, please go rate and review us. It makes a huge difference. If you don't mind, just go ahead and click pause, rate and review us, and come back in. Okay, let's dive into today's episode. What are five-ish things that people who are living at home, who want to move out of their home, need to know before moving out? Either we can say a city, anywhere. What are five pieces of information that they have to know? Rachel, take it away. Number one.
They have to know cost of living wherever they're moving to.
Okay. Can we break down what cost of living is?
Sure. An approximate number of total monthly expenses, including rent, recurring lifestyle debt.
Okay, let's break it down even more. What do they have to know in non-negotiables?
Rent.
They have to know the average rent in the area that they want to move.
Yes.
Great. Where do they find that information?
They could talk to friends who currently live in that city. They could also utilize Google.
Yeah. So like Zillow, Street Easy, Airbnb, I don't know, just getting like the full gamut of resources. So what do they need to know in reoccurring? Ooh, this is one I think people definitely forget about.
Reoccurring. Well, if they have debt, they have to be very mindful of, you know, at minimum, their minimum payments on debt, right? Of course.
Totally.
Of course, if they can obviously add a little bit more to one of those debts, that's the dream. And that's what definitely came to mind. Of course, you know, their subscriptions and things like that in regard, but those are also things that if needed to go like Spotify or Netflix in regards to subscriptions. But then if there's more of monthly recurring expenses around like a gym membership or just, I think just being really mindful of like, okay, if I am planning on moving, maybe making sure that I'm going to cancel all these recurring subscriptions before I make that happen. Or should I do it 2 months before I move so that I can save it? You know, if you're doing a $180 bar membership, that's a good chunk of money if you can do it. So I think just being aware of where that money's going so you don't forget about it. And also don't forget about the debt. You know, you still have to pay that while you save.
Yeah, I love that. So the way that you've heard this a million times, but you're going to keep hearing it, is that we have like three main categories. It's your non-negotiables, which is like your fixed expenses. If you don't pay them, there are consequences. Like you will be evicted from your home. Your phone will be turned off. Your Wi-Fi will be turned off. Your heat will stop. And then you have your non-negotiables and reoccurring monthly expenses. So those are things like subscriptions, Netflix, Hulu. They're also things like supplements, your gym membership, your therapist, your budget coach. And when you're assessing, I want to move, you're thinking about, okay, so I live at home and there's nothing around me. And I want to move to New York City where I want to join like Barry's Boot Camp, or I picked like literally one of the most expensive memberships you can get. Okay, I want to join like a yoga studio. So I'm going to put in that yoga studio that I want into my budget so that I can start saving for that now and see like, oh, cool. Like in my budget, it already includes that. And then also it's assessing. So I don't pay for Netflix or Hulu or HBO at home. And now Netflix has just changed that they're kicking you out if you're not on that main internet source. Mm-hmm. So I might need to account for Netflix, Hulu, HBO, and like really assessing those things. So it's not just like, what can you take away? It's like, what do you want to enhance? Like, what's the reason why you want to move out to begin with? It's like, yeah, I have a client who's like, I want to have, there's like a wellness spa that focuses on like, you know, you get like a liquid IV and like, there's all these different services. And she's like, I want to put that in my budget. That was one of the reasons why I wanted to move here in the first place, is to have these amenities. So thinking about that. Okay. So that's all pretty Googleable. That's a great baseline. And then in terms of lifestyle, I think this is where people get really tripped up, because when they're living at home, their parents might be buying a lot of their food. They might be spending a lot of their money on clothing or shopping, because a lot of their, what they would be spending in a city living by themselves or living with roommates is very different than what they're spending with their parents. So what are your recommendations for analyzing your lifestyle expenses?
One recommendation, I was just talking to a client about this in regards to groceries and kind of living at home. But I think groceries is such an interesting lifestyle tab, because so many people, I think sometimes when they see the number, they're like, oh my goodness, I spend so much money on groceries. And I'm like, yeah, because you're fueling your body and you need to eat. And it's so interesting how clients will be like, it's $400 too much. And I'm like, well, if there's 4 weeks in a month, that's $100 a week. Like, you know, really breaking it down, because I don't know if the two of you see this either, but that number for some reason just really scares people.
It's the shamed. It's the shamed category.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I want to put money more towards travel, not groceries. And it's like, yeah, well, you also need to eat. I always tell clients in regards to kind of more of those categories that happen weekly, right? Going out, groceries, really talking to yourself and recognizing, okay, if my parents are supporting me with groceries and I only really spend $50 a month, you know, having those conversations maybe with the people, like, again, if you're living at home, like, oh, mom, dad, how much is the weekly groceries when you go out? So you can start to be like, okay, I'm not going to obviously need three people's worth of food, but if they're spending $300, okay, maybe I do need to budget $100 a week, times that by however many weeks are in that month. And then maybe give yourself a little extra wiggle room if you're moving to a city, you know, like New York, which tends to just be more expensive. So that's kind of a tip I usually talk to my clients about. Same with going out. It's like, okay, how many times do you actually want to go out? Dream going out budget. And then is that realistic with you? Do you need to go from going out Friday and Saturday to just going out Saturday, and what that would look like and the differences between that number? Because it adds up. Those are the two areas that really add up that I see.
100%. Okay. So we give them all this information. We say, look at what we anticipate your future budget being. And they're still living at home and they're making income. So what is the next step that we offer clients to do?
We have their budget for the new city. So I would say next step is create a savings plan with their current income to start saving for what that new budget might look like.
100%.
Are you ready to take control of your finances and embrace abundance? Our signature program is your key to financial empowerment. With over 70 video tutorials, live sessions with me, workbooks, and a supportive community, you'll gain clarity, confidence like you've never had before. Enrollment opens now, and spots are very limited and have already filled up from pre-enrollment. So don't miss this opportunity to transform your financial journey. Head over to beyondthegreencoaching.com, work with us to learn more and secure your spot. Let's make your financial dreams a reality together. Head over to the show notes and apply today. Okay, back to the episode.
It's almost identical to our federal student loan strategy, is that we tell our clients like, hey, get in the mindset that you're paying these, because eventually you will pay them. So we're going to get in the mindset that you have rent, and maybe you can't afford all of it, the whole lifestyle thing, you know, maybe it's like, that's not sustainable for your income right now, but getting in the mindset that at least your rent and your reoccurring monthly expenses can be covered, and save that for as long as you can to have, what are the necessities we think for someone who is like financially fit to move out of their parents' home to move into their next location?
Like, what do they 100% need in order before doing that?
Yeah.
Well, they have to have enough saved for typical first, last security deposit on the place. Mm-hmm. Moving expenses. I think that definitely, as Rachel, you know how much that can add up just in regards to, are you moving long distance, like getting the moving truck, boxes, the time, also being aware of how much time it takes. And so those are some things that come to mind. If you know, asking yourself furnishing wise, like, do you have stuff to bring with you to furnish the apartment, or is this going to be, what is realistic? Like, you know, you can't necessarily move in and then in 1 month spend $5,000 on furnishing the whole thing. So kind of being clear on what that looks like and the timeline you need.
Yeah. That's my biggest thing that I always tell clients. You don't have to have a perfect home when you move. Like, what are the absolute necessities? Like, if you absolutely need a bed, like that, you need a bed, you need a dresser. Do you need a couch? Like, do you need a TV? Do you need those things right away? So we need first month's rent, security deposit, last month's rent. So that could be up to 3 months of rent that you need that is gone. You don't get to see that again. Then you need moving expenses, and you need enough money to like get the basic essentials that you need. So if you're not bringing any pots and pans, like, you got to get some pots and pans. You're going to need spices. Like, spices are so expensive. You think you're going to the grocery store and spending $30, then you spend $50 because you bought two spices. Spices, olive oil, like all of those things, like thinking about, oh, that first month. And also, that first month is usually quite, what's the word? Like, volatile in like a good way. There's a lot of transition and change. So you're thinking about, like, you know what? I'm probably going to order takeout a lot that first month. Can I afford that? Can I like make sure that I'm set up for those little things that you don't think about? Is there anything else I'm missing?
Well, I think the situation is a bit different if you're moving with a job or moving without one. Ooh. I think if you're moving with a job, things are a bit different. I'd say if you're moving and expecting to look for a job when you get there, I personally would want to have even more money saved, and like an estimated few months of full expenses in an emergency fund or in something to pay for life until a job is found.
Oh, I love that. I was just talking to a client about that because they kind of had this like very logistic idea that they needed to have first month's rent, security deposit, they needed to get a job and da 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 and all this stuff. So what is some advice that we can give to someone who is moving somewhere without a job?
Something that comes to mind is recognizing the timeline that might take, like in the sense of, if you want to move in 3 months and you don't have a job, it actually might have to be pushed back to 6 months, right? Like, almost like, and I think that's the hard part with some of these instant, like, I want this, I want to be in New York City. But, you know, especially if you're living at home and you just have that security of not needing to pay rent, or like only a small portion, you know, giving a small portion to your parents for it to help support rent or mortgage or things like that. So just the concept of patience, which I think can be really hard to accept, but knowing, right? Like, oh, I'm making this budget. And then it's like, well, do you have a job? No, but I still want to go. It's like, well, exactly what Rachel just said. It can take months to find a job, and you don't want to feel backed up against a wall and take a job just because you feel like you need to have income, in the sense, if you do have the opportunity, obviously, to stay at your parents or stay wherever you're living that provides financial support. So patience.
Yeah. Something else, it was really hard for me to wrap my head around this when I was like so in the thick of my debt repayment plan and like building the foundations of my wealth, is the short-term cash solutions. You could Airbnb a place for a month. If you're in a position where your parents are really comfortable with you coming in and out of the home. So for example, like, let's say you're an artist and you want to move to New York City and you're going to take a serving position. it's going to take you time to build money. So, and really when you're waitressing, when you're going to get a waitressing job or like a service job, front of house job, you usually have to be on the floor, you know, you have to be there. And so I totally understand moving without a job and being like, fine, I'll just get a job when I'm there. But once you get the job, it could take 2 weeks to hire you. And then it could take, and then it's 2 weeks of training. So you're really not getting paid until week six. So you could hypothetically go rent an Airbnb for 2 months. You could live with a friend who already is living there and offer to give them rent. So it's not that you're not going to pay money. Like, you're still going to have to pay money, but it's like, how do you set yourself up for the most success over the long period? I know in our minds, the short period is like, well, that's not financially stable. It's like, well, I'd rather you move with a job, have that financial cushion that you need to feel secure in your month-to-month budget. Because realistically, I mean, unless you can literally save every single penny you have living at home and have a 12-month emergency fund, you know, if you're wanting to get out of the house, here are your options. It's like, save as much as you can by thinking about that future budget, and then maybe go to that city if you can't find a job and spend a couple months trying to find a job and seeing it, even if you like it, what neighborhood you'd want to live in, you know, so you can make a lot of decisions on the ground versus like on Zillow at home.
All right, folks, the countdown is on. On. We're just 1 week away from a significant moment. The cart for our transformative Heal Your Relationship with Money course is about to close. This is your final opportunity to secure your spot in the program that hundreds have embarked on and thousands of lives changed because of it. It's like hard for me to conceptualize that, like, I created this thing that has helped so many people, but like, it's real, it exists, and it can change your life and everybody's life you come encounter with. If you're ready to transform your financial mindset, you want to break free from limiting beliefs and embrace a life of abundance, now is the time to take action. Inside this course, you'll uncover the tools, strategy, and insights that will revolutionize your approach to money. With over 70 video tutorials, live sessions with me, Rachel, and Leah, you have a team supporting you, you have workbooks, and a supportive community that holds you accountable. You'll gain the clarity and confidence you need to take control over your finances. But remember, time is of essence. Once this cart closes, this opportunity will not be available again until 2024. Don't let this chance slip away. Head over to beyondthegreencoaching.com, work with us, and secure your spot before it's too late. Invest in yourself, invest in your financial future, and be part of a community that's dedicated to making lasting change. Thank you so much for being a part of Everybody's Bad with Money. Until next time, keep thriving and happy budgeting.